Welcome to the March meeting of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District Board. I'm Len Welsh, and at this time I will take roll call. Charles Toombs is absent tonight. He's sick, that's why he's not here. Linda Lipscomb?
Here.
Pat Gillette?
Here.
Tony Lloyd?
Here.
Okay, so...
And you are here.
And, well, I said I'm here, I said it. I heard myself say it. Okay, so first we start with public comments. Would anybody like to... could I ask you to wait just a little bit? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Any public comments?
Len, I'd like to ask you a question. It's putting you on the spot a little.
Well, you can ask. You can always ask.
Okay, thanks. I'd like to know what your position is on the proposed bond for $2 million, or up to $2 million. As I understand it, part of it is for necessary upgrades for safety purposes, which I don't think anybody would argue with. But then there's another part, too. How much is the part for the upgrades, and how much is the part for the other part of it?
Well, I'm not going to make this an informational session on that. I think were we going to get a presentation on that tonight, a further?
Yeah.
John Stein is here.
Okay, maybe we can take that up.
Okay, but
we've had several presentations.
Yeah, as from my position on it, I've said at a previous meeting that I think there's been enough work done on this to justify tendering it to the voters, and so I think the people of Kensington should decide on it one way or the other.
Okay, that's to put it to the voters, but do you have a personal position on it, or is that not?
I think it should go forward.
Pardon?
I think it should go forward.
Okay. Secondly, I submitted a PRA for the documents that are supposed to be filled out by someone making a claim for per diems. And I've been informed that those documents have not been filled out. Is that right?
I have no idea what you're speaking of.
I'm sorry?
I have no idea what you're speaking of.
Why don't we take that offline? If you're looking for a response to something you submitted, let's make sure you submitted it. If there's a problem with it, I'll be happy to explain. If there's something that we think is privileged, I'll be happy to tell you why.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. I'm sorry, you're not hearing? Maybe I need to get close to the microphone. Is that better? I'm sorry. Thank you for speaking up. Next? Okay.
Testing. My name is A. Stevens Delk, D-E-L-K. In December, I spoke about the impending Bayview rate increase. In the meetings of that minute, the meetings of that minute say, I quote, cited that there was a 20% increase in the Minican subscriptions since its introduction, close quote. What I believe I said was that only 20% of customers currently use the Minican. That's not the same thing. Although my entire talk was in opposition to the proposed increase, which implemented the option 2 rate structure, I am on record as saying I, quote, would prefer the board to adopt the option 2 proposed rates, close quote. In attempting to see if I had badly misspoken at the meeting, I've repeatedly been to the district's website. There are no recordings later than the November one. Why is there a delay in posting them? In addition, some recordings are listed, but when I try to open them, I get the message, page not found. Are some recordings listed but not proposed? Were some originally posted but later pulled from the site? For example, the recording of the July 2012 meeting does not appear to be available. Is this just me? That is my computer, or is it that others cannot access all of the district's postings? In the past, I've noticed that the minutes and the recordings are sometimes significantly different, more than just loose paraphrasing. This includes wording of motions by board members, which it seems to me should be reported verbatim since they reflect board action. Now I'm going to go off script, so it's hard to tell exactly what I'll say. But in the February meeting, Jim Harmon's report, it's reported that he says, for the first half of the fiscal year...
I'm sorry, whose report, please?
Harmon's.
The chief? Okay.
GM.
It's Greg, Chief Harmon.
Oh, I meant General Manager Harmon.
Is that what you meant, GM? Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
I thought you were saying Jim. I'm sorry.
No, GM slash COP. All right. It's reported that he said, for the first half of the fiscal year, legal expenses had exceeded the amount budgeted by $46,000, and that legal expenses associated with Bayview Refuge had exceeded the budgeted amounts by $56,000. This sentence makes no sense as is, and I think it needs some clarification for the minutes are approved to what the first half of the sentence refers to as amount budgeted, and what the second half of the sentence refers to as budgeted amounts. They seem to be different values.
Thank you for the comment. Chief, could I get you to answer the question about whether we're late posting the recordings on the website or how long it takes to get them posted? Do you happen to know the answer at the moment? I think it's no secret that our website needs a little bit of work, and actually we are taking a look at that, and we are going to be coming up with a plan to fix it. Anybody else?
Hello, I'll try to shout. My name is Peter Liddell. I'm here speaking now for the Kensington Public Safety Council. We have a flyer in back that announces our next presentation. We do presentations on preparedness and other topics that might be of interest to the community. And I'll give you a Reader's Digest now. If you're interested, please pick up a flyer. A workshop is being offered by the Kensington Public Safety Council to help Kensington residents become more comfortable and effective in communicating complaints they may have with their neighbors. Barbara Steinberg, the workshop leader, is a clinical social worker who has led groups focused upon many different kinds of problem solving. So we have an experienced person who's going to coach us and teach us how to approach problem solving with our neighbors. So this neighbor conflict resolution workshop will take place next Thursday, March 20th from 7 p.m. to approximately 8:30 p.m. here at the Kensington Community Center, so on and so on. So if you would send a note to kensingtonpsc@gmail.com so we know how many people are coming. We'd like to have cookies for the attendees and refreshments, so we want to make sure we have enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Gretchen Gilfillan, and I'm in charge of the path cleanup. So I invite you a week from this Saturday to come to the Upper Ardmore Path. Bring your brooms, your rakes, your clippers, your loppers, and I will have home-baked cookies and water to entice you. I hope to see you there, 10 o'clock.
Bribery is always a good strategy.
I think we can one up. Come on, one more.
Okay, if that concludes the public comments, we'll move on to board member comments, and I'm going to ask Tony Lloyd to comment first.
Thank you, President. Have we got that now? Thank you, President Walsh. It's really my pleasure to let you guys know something that went on this week. Back in November, Lynn Walter and Keith Barrow, Officer Barrow, Sergeant Barrow, came to me and said that they had been working on the opportunity to find ways to augment our budget funding. And they said that there might be the opportunity to approach the school district since their bond issue passed and they had expressed a willingness to partner as we had been partnering all along. And so we took them up on that offer, and I called a very good friend and president of the school board, Charles Ramsey, sitting over here. And he said, yeah, come on over. I'll set up a meeting with you and Dr. Harder, the superintendent, and let's see, Madeline Cronenberg, who has been to a couple of our meetings. And so we went over and talked with them, and we told them about what our needs were, which were primarily we have been funding or absorbing the funding for the crossing guard now for about 20 years. And I remember when that went over to us. And also, there's about 600 patrol and dispatch calls that come in that have to do with going up to the school properties on an annual basis. And so we also told them about that because those would normally be under the security service or their own police force, which they used to have, and budgets are being tight. They were withdrawn for quite some time. I remember that. My kids went through Hilltop School in Portola and El Cerrito, and I remember raising funds for the teachers and the various programs, and I also remember the dire straits that the district was in. And they really worked hard to come back and to make some incredible changes and commitments to the community, and they continue to do that. And so after talking to them in November, I got a call last week that said that our request had been put on the agenda thanks to President Ramsey, and we were invited to come to the board meeting last night and to make our pitch, if you will, and no promises. So I went along with Chief Harmon and with Lynn Walter, and we made a very succinct presentation that talked about the conditions, talked about partnering, and our desire to find a way to have them help us with the cost that we had been absorbing for these years, and they did, in a significant amount, which I'm so happy to report today. And so I'd like to say congratulations to a couple people, but first I want to ask President Ramsey to come up and say a couple words.
Yes, please do. Just wanted you to have the proper introduction.
I'm going to make it short. My father had a stroke, and he's going to pass away tomorrow, so I just had to still. It's okay. You know, we all have a life, and the family was all there, and so we got a chance to make final decisions. So after, I'm just going to go to my folks' house over in Berkeley and spend some time there. But my dad wants us to always continue to carry on, and education was always very important to him. He had been a law professor at Bolton. Jerry Brown had appointed him to the bench. And then he was dean of the law school at Howard University, and he worked in the Clinton administration on the black farmer settlement that he was the administrator for. But I want to first really share with you how important it is, and for you who don't know me, let me first introduce myself. My name is Charles Ramsey, school board president of West Contra Costa Unified School District. It's actually sort of my final term, so I really want to make sure that I was able to accomplish some things for all parts of the district before I finished up after 21 years. And so when this was first brought to me, the issue around having our school district absorb some of the public safety costs, it resonated with me because we have done that throughout the district. And I saw it not so much as protecting Hilltop School, which it really wasn't about. It was about really safety and support for the region and the area, and to make sure that we had this unincorporated area handled by the special district. And so when this was proposed and brought to us, I made sure that as they first talked to the superintendent, as board president, when he came, I said, we need to agendize it, and either we voted up or down. He wanted for discussion. I said, no. It's an action item. We either voted up or down, and let the constituents in that community understand where we stand on this issue. And so I then called and spoke to Tony that I had put it on the agenda and that it was going to be presented to the full Board of Education yesterday, Wednesday. And so it was, and I asked them to bring some individuals there so they could give a presentation, because typically it would only get 2 minutes, but I gave them 10 minutes so that your chief, Lynn, and your representative from the board could speak and really inform. And I think the superintendent got it, because at first he was asking the board to deny it. And while the presentation was taking place, he changed his opinion, understood it a little bit better, and recommended approval. I think it would have been approved anyway, but it was good to know staff was supportive of it. And I wanted to do something because, as an experienced board member, I know that when you start looking at approving things, it starts really the minimal. So what I said, no, let's have it for 3 years to see how it really runs and operates. And let's make sure we have not anything as a minimum or a max of 30, it says up to $50,000 per year. So it gives you the flexibility in terms of if there's overruns, increases, costs, that those can all be captured, and we won't have to talk about trying to renegotiate that. I wanted to make it clear, because I think it's important for me to share what is taking place with schools in a real minimal short time. Prop 30 was big in here in the state of California when the voters here approved the half-cent sales tax, quarter-cent sales tax that doesn't expire in 2017. That gave the school districts billions and billions of dollars, and that for us alone resulted in $12.5 million that we got for that. That eliminated any structural deficit that we had. But then the economic recovery now has really helped cement, and then what's called the local control funding formula that Jerry Brown got approved through the state has just changed our funding by quantum. In another 10 years, we'll have an increase of $100 million in our annual operating budget because of the fact that we have a large population of free and reduced lunch students. So it just really changed the whole dynamics of everything that we do. And so I just want to make sure that everyone is clear in understanding that we understand what's going on with cities and special districts. They're scrapped for resources, they're struggling. And it's something that I think it's important to understand. You need to, we have a $24 million reserve right now. $24 million. We're only mandated to have 3%, which is $8 million reserve. So we have a $24 million reserve. But on top of it, our board has a $10.5 million special reserve fund because we decided not to utilize the funds, the stimulus money. We wanted to save them if we needed it for a rainy day. That's why I didn't think the request was anything that was something that we couldn't handle or absorb long-term. So I just want to make sure you have the understanding of where we are fiscally and the fact that we've had positive certifications every year that I've been on the board, and we're way out of the woods on anything we do. We don't close schools, we're actually reopening schools. But the final piece is that we're now to assist, and we want to coordinate with this district, is that we're going to be putting surveillance systems at all of our campuses. You've seen a lot of television coverage of it. You've seen the expansiveness of it. We've now decided not just to do high schools and middle schools, we're also going to go to elementary schools. And so we want to work with your department to make sure that we have systems in place so that they can see activity taking place, because we think that's going to reduce the number of calls, because everything will be right there on film. We're not going to be the big brother looking in the classrooms or in the restrooms, but it's going to be in the common areas and in areas that we think would be places where if traffic or crimes happen, at least it would assist and help all of them in making sure that they resolve those issues in a timely way. So I just wanted to thank you for giving me the opportunity, but I also want to thank you, Tony, because I always say, if you never ask, you'll never know. And my father always taught me, a closed mouth never gets fed. So you need to make sure that you share what your thoughts. And so I think you should give this entire board credit, because they just were able to free up money and resources that will be able to assist in other ways and other activities and other services that need to be supported here. Because $50,000 is going to go a long way in helping this special district. So I don't know if anybody had any questions or comments, but I'm just wanted to make sure I gave you that information.
I have a question. You mentioned sure. That other schools in the district are receiving similar
It's not so much, we have a relationship with the Contra Costa Deputy Sheriff's Association, and we have a patrol officer that patrols unincorporated areas, the Elsa Brandy area, North Richmond, and so they, Birdie Elementary, Crespi Middle School, they cover those areas over there in Olinda Elementary. And then we actually have at our high schools and continuation school in Richmond, we have 8 SRO, school resource officers in the city, then dedicates one that they give us. And then we have 2. Used to just have 1 in Hercules, but a year and a half ago, we gave them the second office. We have 2 in the city of Hercules. We actually have 3 in the city of El Cerrito, 1 from Porter in the middle school and 2 at the high school. And then the city of San Pablo, they may come to us, and I wouldn't. They actually pay for have a school resource officer at Helms Middle School, and the city of Pinole has 1 police officer that they give us at the high school, and we support 2, 1 at Pinole Middle and 1 at the high school, and that's the coverage that we have in our resource officer program.
And those are all paid for by the school district?
Yes, they are.
I think it's really important in what Charles just said, that it speaks to the partnering that needs to go on now with between our schools and our municipalities, because one organization can't do it all. And each one has its own strengths that it can use to complement what the day-to-day operations. And that's the feeling we got last night when we were in front of the board. They get it, you know, they really do. I want to thank you so much and the rest of the board.
And I want to also say, if other people have suggestions and ideas, bring them forward. We're not a savings account. It's taxpayer dollars that are being generated to use for services. And so I think it's really important to recognize, if there's ideas that you have that you believe will strengthen the community, not just the school district, but the community around us, let's partner. Most people don't know, we kept 4 schools open because the city gave us funding in the city of Richmond for 5 years, in the city of San Pablo for 3 years. We're now giving that back. Most people don't know, because we have resources to do rehabilitation and facilities, we're doing the Kennedy Swim Center in conjunction with the city, because Park and Recs will be using that for seniors and for our students. And so we were able to have that and use $7.5 million to build a new facility. And they kept, because at one point operationally we were strapped during these recessionary years from 2008 to 2012, they kept schools open. We don't need that anymore, and so we're able to return the favor. And so I really want everyone to understand it's important to stay proactive, because it's, to me, one part of money that the taxpayers are giving to us. Also, if there's other ideas or thoughts that you think are can come forward, realize, because as I said, we're sitting on monies that I'm asking my board to use, whether it's for after-school activities, things at the library, things here. You have other community service needs that maybe help out. Maybe a senior program to work with young kids to do reading and tutorials, or to do literacy programs. It's just, there's a lot of, like my dad says, you're only limited by your own imagination. So think big, think large, and I think a lot of these things will happen. So, Len, did you have any final,
so
are you guys done?
I just wanted to thank you for the work you do and you've done. Thank you for coming here tonight, and very sorry to hear about your dad.
Well, it's all right. We all have family members that have passed. It's something that is not unique, and we'll be in that day one time. He had a very distinguished and productive life, and he wasn't unhealthy when he passed. So, it's fine. Yes? No, that will, this is just for your direct operational budget. The surveillance system cameras are something we're developing as a district policy, and so that comes out of the voter-approved bond measures with Kensington's always robustly supported. I mean, every one has always been over 7%. So the fact is, we've spent $1 billion already, and we have another $700 million that we have at our disposal. So we're developing those systems now, because we see they've worked and they've been successful. I can tell you, Richmond High, we had a heinous gang rape crime 5 years ago. And because of the proactive work we've done, there's less truancy, there's no problems, and guess what? There's no graffiti at all on that campus. And so it's just changed the entire culture. Closed campuses now stay closed because, hey, you're leaving campus, isn't that you? And bring their parent in and they get to see it. And so we want to just ensure, this school is the best school in the county. I mean, Judy Sanders is doing a phenomenal job up there. You have scores in the 960s. People are dying to move into Kensington just to go to Hilltop School. I mean, the school is, I mean, when I started, it had like 450 kids. They're almost up to 600 kids. They're coming out at the seams. And so it's just a road. The KEF program is very vibrant, and a lot of things are going. And so my focus now is to support this district around safety. We believe safety is our top priority. And the unique thing is here, you have your own police protection body that you decide to create and tax yourself to support. And so I think having that is unique, and it's a good thing. You don't see that typically in unincorporated areas, and we have it here. I don't know if you had anything, Linda, or you, any questions?
No, I'm okay. Very sorry to hear about your dad, Charles.
Yeah.
Wish you well.
Appreciate it. So thank you very much. I hope I answered all your questions. And really, the person, because like I said, I'm transitioning out, this is my last term, but school board member Madeline Cronenberg, she lives just up the street here. She's been like a very veteran person. She has the most experience. I think she's the person, if anybody has calls, to talk to, because combined, I actually have more time on the board than everybody else combined, like double, but I've been around a while. And so I'm just very pleased. You're in a very good place because you have local control back. Remember, the state loan has now been paid off. It's all local control. We have no state trustee. Everybody now can really know that their voice can be amplified. Because I can tell you, Tony, this is important to know. If we had a straight state trustee, we might not have been gotten approval and might have been vetoed to do what we did last night. So local control is very important, and we never want to give that back up. Thank you.
Thanks again for your time.
Thanks again. Thank you very much. Any further comment from you, Dr. Lloyd?
Yeah, I would like to take a minute. Things don't happen by magic, as we all know. And the way this whole thing got started was really a very large credit to Sergeant Barrow. Keith, if you'd stand up, and Lynn Walter. These are two of the staff members that grassroots looked at this opportunity, You know, we said we'd go need some numbers. They went and did research and got us the numbers. They looked at different scenarios, and they actually took me out to meet with the superintendent and Madeline and explained in detail language what our needs were. And we're instrumental in providing the words and the music so that when we went there last night, we were ready. And and we ran the table, I kid you not. That was a very good feeling. So thank you guys. And of course, thanks to Chief Harmon for his leadership in the whole thing.
Thank you. Pat, do you have any comments?
I have two comments. One, I attended the ethics workshop, which was really quite enlightening. I got to ask all kinds of questions. Because they had an anonymous way of asking questions and found out a lot of interesting information, including that one district can, in fact, give money to another district without it being a gift of public funds. And I would hope that maybe our fire district could take the same attitude that our school board has taken with respect to we're all in the same boat together and we ought to be rowing in the same direction. I do have a point of procedure that I would just like to make, and that is, I really commend Tony and Keith Farrell and Lynn Walter for what you did. I do think that it would be important that those kinds of issues be surfaced with the board before we go out and make a request on behalf of the district. I just think it's appropriate from a procedural standpoint. So having said that, thank you very much for what you did. It sounds like it was a good thing, and it sounds like the district is in a position to provide that kind of support.
Let me respond to that. You know, Tony came to me and asked if it was appropriate to make the request, so please don't criticize him for that. That's my decision. So I will try.
I wasn't criticizing Tony. I was just saying as a point of procedure, it's not a criticism.
Okay, well, I mean, procedurally, I'll try to make sure that when we do these things, we bring it before the board and we get a clear green light. But, you know, this was an act of leadership, I believe, and if there was something wrong with the way it happened, it's my fault.
I don't want you to take all the credit for it.
You know, luckily,
no,
we aren't on a board.
You got it done.
We aren't on a board anymore that has to find fault and blame. So I'm just making a point. Going forward, I think if we're going to be speaking on behalf of the district, I think that would be cleared by the board. It's my personal opinion.
That's a good point.
It is.
Just let's keep in mind, though, that on the 5th of November, after the meeting, on our December 10th meeting, I sat here, and I can show you the report that's in the agenda, and I covered the entire what we talked about right here and what the intent was. And at that meeting, I asked, was it necessary to make this into a resolution? And I was told by the board, no, because you're going out asking, you're going to get money, you're not going to spend money, just pursue it and see what goes down. And I still believe that it would have been very worthwhile to come back to the board, but as the timing came up, we had 4 days that we were given notice that this was going to be on the agenda if we had wanted to act on it now. Question is, can we be better in our protocol? I think all the way around, we can be better in our protocol. And that includes some of the snide letters and comments that were circulating around today, which I won't go into.
Okay, well, it was a victory. I think point well taken, Pat. Let's try to make sure that we're clear about what we're doing and what we're not with the whole board as much as we can. It was a last-minute thing, it's true. Did you have anything further?
No.
Okay, thank you. Linda?
Hi. I have several things. One is, can everybody hear me? Okay, good show. The policy committee, everybody can always hear me. The policy committee has gotten to the point where the red line looks like the circles and arrows on the back of the Alice's Restaurant photographs, and you can't really follow it anymore because there are so many corrections and versions that what we're trying to do now is trim it down to a readable transcript. The way that we're doing that, we just started it. We sat down and I literally read it aloud and we cross-check it with the red line and cross-check it against the original, and then we also now are cross-checking it with the chief, who is able to tell us whether the policy changes. For instance, I'll give you an example. We'll have a policy in there that says we're covered with thus and such kind of insurance, and it no longer applies. We'll be covered through workers' comp for some things. We'll be covered through SDRMA for other things. And so the specifics of that, although it's true we're covered by insurance, they no longer apply, and it no longer works that way. And so that's what we're in the process of doing. It is forthcoming. It is slow going. We actually read aloud the entire 1,000 sections, and we're going to be picking up with the 2,000 sections this next week. And we're trying to meet on a regular basis to do that, the purpose of which is to present to you a final document, which you can see, and a final of the red line. And hopefully you're able to get a copy also of the original and see what's been changed. So that's in process, and we're working on it. The next thing is, I went today, actually, to the Arlington Lights meeting at John Gioia's office, and I think the committee is very, very close to making a recommendation. This is a citizens' committee, and it also is composed of a member of PG&E, someone from PG&E, and people from the planning department, John Gioia himself, and as I say, a number of citizens, Joe Holmes, Mr. Kasajarian, Carla Freed, and I was there. So it's kind of a concatenation of people sitting there trying to figure out what to do. We've reached the point where there are no longer any complaints about lights going into people's windows, about lights interfering with people's views, and that's wonderful. What we have on the agenda at this point is some more discussion about what should we do about downtown. So far, everything's been all the adjustments of the lowering of the lights and the changing to the LED bulbs has been on the county's nickel, and they realize that, and PG&E's, and that's really great for us. So we're moving along with that. We think that we'll take one more kind of casual poll of the businesses, of the type of lights that they want to have in the business district, because the pretty lights, the acorn type lights, if you put them along the Arlington, the way that it's situated, you'll have a lighting that isn't sufficient. You have to have a higher up light. So we're trying to come to a solution there, and we should be having one more community meeting on that to get input from folks. But I'm happy to say, by and large, all complaints regarding these lights has stopped. We still have suggestions from people. People would like to see if we retain the lights, which people seem to like now, that they be painted, that the poles themselves be painted. And so small aesthetic issues like that are still up, not exactly up for grabs because we have limited solutions, but we still need input. There'll be one more meeting on that. And then finally, should I do the park building, wait on the park building committee?
Yeah,
I have something, we have that on the agenda.
Yeah.
This is what I should have said at the very beginning. We have somebody who isn't with us anymore, and it makes me sad, and I saw her just before she passed away, which is Joan Gallegos. And I know, Katie, you were so instrumental in helping her right to the end and keeping touch with the community. We're going to do something to recognize Joan, as she gave so much to the community, so much of her time and talents, and served on boards. We are not prepared tonight to present a proclamation or resolution showing our appreciation, but that's in the works. So I didn't want you to think that we didn't take note that she is not here. Well, maybe she is. Joni, are you here? She always liked it that I called her Joni. So that's it. That's what I have for extras.
Thank you. She was a wonderful person. I got to know her a little bit in the last,
few months,
and she was quite an inspiration. And she was lucid right up to the very end. She was in a lot of pain, and she was a trooper. That's all I can say. And a very interesting person. She led a very interesting life. And we'll hear more about that next meeting, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to save my, the only thing I really have to talk about is the fire district and our district and the relationship that we're going to have going forward. I hope it'll be a little different than it is now. So I'll save that until the end. So, and we're finished with comments. Why don't we see if we want to approve the consent calendar? Do I have a motion? Oh, Lynn?
Staff.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't give staff a chance to comment. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All of you have in front of you this magazine that arrived today, and I'd like to bring to your attention something that appears on page 28, and it's the 2014 Dr. James Conan Scholarship. Our district qualifies for CSEA scholarships because our revenues are less than $5 million. I beg your pardon?
You need to get closer to the mic. They can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Our district qualifies for scholarships because our total revenues are less than $5 million. And this scholarship in particular provides scholarships for registration fees for all four modules of the Special District Leadership Academy or the Special District Leadership Academy Conference and is open to elected/appointed special district board members from districts with budgets of less than $5 million who have not previously completed the Special District Leadership Academy. So I hope that some of you or all of you might take advantage of this opportunity.
Thank you. Feeling a little pressure here. Anything else, Chief? Okay. All right. Now, do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I move we approve the consent calendar.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The first item we have here is a proclamation that we are going to present to Peter Liddell, who is the Disaster Preparedness Chair for Contra Costa County for the American Red Cross. We have a proclamation to make March, the month of March, American Red Cross Month. And Chief, would you read the proclamation for us, please?
food, and emotional support during the 433 Walter disaster. A local chapter of more than 177,000 people from life-saving CPR, first aid, water safety, preparedness, and safety. A local chapter provided emergency communication, counseling, financial assistance, and caring presence for more than 8,000 local military families. A local chapter supported 28 Bay Area hospitals, providing them with nearly 75,000 units of red blood cells, pallets, and we dedicate the month of March to all those who support the American Red Cross mission to prevent and alleviate human suffering in the face of emergency. Our community depends on the American Red Cross is wide and able to use time, money, and blood to support the financial community. Now, therefore, we need to direct it forward to the community to support the community services. We need to provide consent
adopt the proclamation. Yes. Okay. So this is titled KPPCSD Proclamation 2014-1. And do I have a motion to adopt it?
Yes, I make a motion that we adopt
Proclamation
KPPCSD
Proclamation
2014-1
proclaiming March 2014 as American Red Cross Month.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Excuse me, who is the second?
Me. Thank you.
Any discussion on
that? Did you want to make a comment?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. My mistake. Point well taken. Point well taken.
CE.
Yeah, we can correct it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Everything else is pretty fun.
It's a bit antiquated.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
Common era. Not really 2014.
Anybody else? I'm sorry I rolled over you folks. Anybody else have a comment?
We'll change it.
We'll
change it.
Okay. We're good. Thank you.
The world's only 4 billion years old anyway. No, I mean, he
you know what heard you. Convention is the year 2014. And I accept that convention. There are other calendars that have been made fun. I'm just accepting to do it for the reason
you know, it doesn't require, I mean, this is Kensington, right? We recognize every approach to religion and everything else here, so.
I think we're in heated agreement.
Yes, we're in absolutely heated agreement. Okay, next item is the presentation of the negotiated extension agreement between the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District and the Kensington Police Officers Association for the period July 1st, 2013 through June 30th, 2014. This is catching the police contract up to make it current for at least a little while longer. and Director Toombs is not here, as I mentioned before, he's ill, so it falls to you, Pat, to walk us through this.
I think I was gonna do it no matter what. So I am pleased to report that we have reached a proposal, which we're making to the board tonight, to set a new contract for 1 year between the KPPCSD and the police officers. Let me give a little
historical context. We have been meeting with the police officers. Chuck and I have been meeting with Officer Barrow and Officer Hull, who were the representatives from KPOA, since last summer. And during that many-month period, we have discussed a number of different options, including having a contract for 1 year, having a contract for 3 years, having a contract for 5 years or 4 years, whether we should have a requirement that the police officers begin to contribute to their benefits in a more significant way, whether we should increase the pension contributions that the police officers make. And we've had a lot of discussions about the current fiscal condition of our community and what we can expect in the future. And after what I think were several very productive and good discussions between the two negotiating teams, as well as their membership, we came to the conclusion that the best thing that we could do for the community at this time is to enter into a one-year contract. The purpose for entering into a one-year contract as opposed to a longer contract is that there are several uncertainties as we enter into this new year. Among the uncertainties is how much, if any, the amount of money we get from the county assessor will be increased. Well, we don't know how much it will be increased. We can speculate as to how much it will be increased, but at some point during this year, we will know that. That will impact, obviously, the budget and the money that we have available for distribution to the various causes and responsibilities that we have as a board. So that was one of the things. The other is we weren't sure how the Affordable Care Act is going to impact the health care costs. Will they continue to go up? Will they level out? Will they go down? So trying to figure out what contribution, if any, would be appropriate this time, or worse, for a three-year period or a four-year period, was difficult to figure out. There also is some ambiguity about the pension law. There are challenges being made to the pension law right now. We know that there's a law in the books that will require officers to contribute a certain amount to their pension in 2018, beginning in 2018. But there are some challenges to that law right now. So given those uncertainties, we felt that it wasn't appropriate to enter into anything more than a year contract right now. And so that's what we are recommending, is that we have an extension of the current contract for 1 year, which means that it would run from July 1, 2013, retroactively to July 1, 2013, through June 30th, 2014. And other than that extension, the only real change to the contract is that we will be giving the officers a 3% salary increase. We came to the conclusion that a 3% salary increase was appropriate for a couple of reasons. The first being that the officers have not had an increase in their salary since 2010. They have actually foregone raises because of the financial status of the district. And we felt it was appropriate if we were going to continue to try to pay our officers competitively, which means we pay them essentially in what we consider to be the middle of the pack, that it would be appropriate to give them a 3% increase. We both did our independent analysis of what that would mean. We didn't come to an agreement necessarily of what the middle of the pack was, but I think I can say with a very clear conscience that 3% puts us in a place that I think and Chuck thinks is appropriate for our officers based on the research that we did. So we're recommending that the board adopt a 3% increase across the board for officers, and that we extend the contract from July 1, 2013 to June 30th, 2014. And having said that, I just want to give you an anecdote of why this, I think, is so important. Number one, we have really important, we are lucky to have the police officers that we do who really dedicate their services to us in a way that is unmatched in many of the other communities around us. One of the reasons that I believe we have the low crime rate that we do in Kensington, which some people think is a negative for having a police department, is actually a positive. It's, we have a low crime rate because we have officers who are committed to patrolling our area and who are dedicated to our particular community. And that was made evident the other day when we came home late from an event that my husband and I had been at, and there was one of the police officers across the street walking up to one of the houses. The reason he was there is he was patrolling and he saw that the door to the house was open, and that seemed unusual given the hour of the evening. It turned out that all was well, but that's what we pay for. We pay to have our officers attentive to that kind of thing. I live in a cul-de-sac, so people don't go up there. And here this officer knew that we'd had some suspicious activity there in the past couple of months, including a false report by me, unknowingly. But because of that, they've been patrolling more regularly, and they at least stopped by to see why this door was opened at this time in the evening. So I think I've always been a big supporter of the police. I know that our board has as well. I believe this is a fair and appropriate contract. We will be entering into immediately negotiations for the next contract, because this one will expire on June 30th, 2014. We want to have another contract in place as soon as possible. That contract will most likely be for a longer term, and we will be negotiating for the various issues that I mentioned before: contributions to benefits, contributions to pension, salary, and some other issues. If the board has any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And now I wish Chuck were here so he could answer them. We did provide for everyone at pages 50 and 51 a memorandum, being as transparent as we could be about the process that we followed and the rationale for our various decisions that were, various recommendations that we're making today. We also provided a complete breakdown of the contract costs so that everyone can take a look at those. And then we provided you with a copy of, on the next two pages, a copy of the extension agreement and what it would look like.
I would just like to say thank you for all the hard work that you and Chuck did on this. You may remember we had a lot of closed meetings over this negotiation. I can tell you for every hour we were in closed meetings, Chuck and Pat and the negotiators for the police were in several hours of meetings to try to hammer out an agreement. So I want to thank you for the very hard work you did and the enormous amount of time both of you spent on that process. Public comment? No comments from board members? Oh, I'm sorry. Why don't you come up?
Don't make it too hard now. Go easy on me.
On page 53, I believe it is, the breakdown of contract costs. I'm not sure. Then I can't read. It's a problem. It says here that the PERS district portion paid by the district for pension benefits are 36.47% of the 3% salary increase. And that the PERS officers portion is 9%. Was that different from what it was before, and the two don't add up? They add, the way I add them, they come up to 45%. Am I reading it wrong? I don't quite understand what that means.
I will luckily defer to the chief, since he is the mathematician here, not I.
For every dollar in salary, the district's required, not just us, all districts, for municipalities that participate in PERS.
For every dollar in salary, the district and all municipalities have to pay this current fiscal year 36.477% to the PERS pension fund. In addition to that amount, 9%, which is generally, it could be, it's generally negotiated between the various associations throughout the state. This district pays the officers 9%. So when the breakdown I'm not too sure what you're asking me, but the 23...
I think I've answered the question for myself, though.
I love it when that happens.
No, I believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, that of the district portion that has to be paid, the district is paying 36% of that amount. And
one of the things I was trying to show here is how much this is costing the district, what the actual raise is costing the district. Yes. And that $23,000 is an actual increase in salary. And then that $8,500 is the 36.44% of that $23,000 that the district has to pay.
Understood.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think I understand. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Carl Kruger. I'm glad that you did the one-year contract. And my reason for saying this is, as I said in the email, it time-wise, it puts us where we ought to be. I wouldn't have given 3%. And I know that everybody is saying they haven't had a pay increase. We have changed classifications, you know, and we've been during very bad times, and there were lots of districts that took pay cuts, which we did not do. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. I wouldn't have given this, but I'm glad you did it, but it only does us good if you have a contract before this extension runs out. And I know it involves a lot of work to do this, but you can't do any budgeting if you don't know what you're spending. The other thing about the 3% is CPI is only 1.6 or 1.7%. So it's not like, you know, we have an inflation of 3%. Anyway, I would like to encourage you to have a contract before this extension runs out. Thank you.
Thank you. And it is our intention to try very hard to have a contract in place before this extension runs out. We are trying to set up times to negotiate right now so that we have an active schedule and we can get this done. But thank you for your comments.
Any other comments?
The only other thing I'd like to say, because you were so gracious in thanking me and you mentioned the officers, but Officer Barrow is here. Officer Hull is not. They were really instrumental in making this happen. They had to go back and talk to their members and help us come to a compromise. So many thanks to them for their hard work. It was not a one-way street. And I weren't inferring it was, but I just wanted to make that clear.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that. I mean, it was a team effort there. And, you know, we have a good relationship with the police, and we value that tremendously. I mean, the board does. I mean, police give wonderful service to the community. The community likes the police, but we at the board value the relationship we have as well. Okay, is there a motion to adopt the contract?
I move that we adopt the contract as written on pages 54 through 55 as the further extension agreement.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion passes. Okay. Item 3, Park Buildings Committee will present the educational material for the Community Center Safety Project, drafted by the Lou Edwards Group for board discussion and approval. And board action. Linda, can I ask you to walk us through that?
Yes, now we see how truly valuable Chuck is. He was supposed to present this one too and didn't get to do so. Okay, that's why he's sick. I know, he'll get better, I hope. All right, we have the Park Buildings Committee and we are presenting the educational material. You will find that located at pages 73 through to the end, I guess that's page 85. And what it is composed of is the recommendations of the Lou Edwards Group. The Lou Edwards Group was hired by the district in order to develop the educational material that the board can send out to the community in respect of the ballot measure for the improvements to the park buildings. The Lou Edwards Group recommended that we send letters out to the community, the first of which is on page 73, and also they help develop the district's FAQs and the PowerPoint presentation, which is behind that. The Park Building Committee has reviewed these documents, as has Council and Bond Council, and they have signed off on them. They've done some minor editing, and the committee itself has done editing on it and signed off on them. So at this time, we'll take discussion of that. Chief, do you have anything more to say about that?
Not really. I just want to stress that this is strictly educational material.
Right.
It's not, the board and the district is not taking, none of this material is actually, how do you say that? Campaign material. It's strictly educational for the public to understand the condition of the building and aspects of the actual bond measure itself.
Does anybody have any discussion of that? Any questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
And I'm just curious. Are these not allowed to be campaign materials? Is there
That's
some
correct.
Restriction?
That's correct. This board cannot campaign for these materials. So in part, that's why we have professional services to help us develop them within the limits of what we can do on an informational basis as opposed to a campaigning basis.
Well, maybe can I make a little correction, or not a correction, maybe a little addition to that? If there's a group actually campaigning for the measure to pass, anyone can use this material as factual material in regards to the project. But as we're, you know, by law, we're not allowed to actually campaign for the passage of that bond. And we have to make sure that this material doesn't do that. And that's like Linda's mentioned, that we've had both our bond counsel and our district's attorneys review it to make sure that we fall in the guidelines of the law. But
well,
yes, you can use this material, well, whoever's campaigning for the bond, or could actually use it if you were against the bond, you could use the same material. It's going to be on the website. It's going to be mailed out as a mailer to all households in the community. It's public information.
Okay, so I want to just make sure we're acting under advice of counsel.
Yes.
This is acceptable
that
within
is correct.
The scope of the law.
That's correct.
Do we, did you, Lisa, did you have anything you wanted to say? Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Len, did you want to comment? Could you step up here? Just that people are having trouble hearing, so I think we need a microphone.
Sure, sauce for gander, right? I have a question. There are two points of view possible on the bond issue. There's a pro and con. And it is that I'm understanding it, the information that's being sent out can somewhat accurately be considered pro. Is there going to be an opportunity for those who have points of view that are negative about the bond issue to express them in the same manner? And I assume that it is the district that's paying for the information to go out. So is it going to be one-sided, or is there going to be an opportunity for anyone who has a point of view which is different to express that point of view along with this? You know, when there are ballot measures that are written up and put on the ballot, there are pros and cons, and there's an opportunity for both. And if this is going to be publicly funded, I believe that it should have, that those who have a different point of view should have an opportunity to express it at the same time.
The material that was generated by the consultants was really about the information about this building and why the district in the first place put a bond measure on, just the, what are the improved, you know, the things that they felt needed to be improved. It is really a factual piece of information. Anybody can take this information and use it pro or con in any argument they wish to make. But this is just really the information about this measure, from the master plan, the process, the repairs that are needed that have been identified as part of that process, you know, how much the bond will cost people. It's just the factual information that's out there, and anybody can use it to make an argument either way. That's why we had the council look at it, to make sure that it doesn't tell anybody how to vote. It's not about how you should vote.
Could you clarify one thing? You do see a pro and con when you go to vote, and there is a process for those who are against it.
Right. There is, and that is through the county elections office.
Through the county elections office, and that's on the ballot arguments in favor and against.
Right.
And you get on to that through going through the county. That's mailed out with the vote, with the ballot and with the informational pamphlet. This is not that.
Can you just identify yourself for the record, please? Can you state your name, please?
My name is Simon Bob.
Thank you.
At the end of the day, who approves the ordinance of this information?
Well, this information is this is why it's coming here. Is really this is the proposal by the consultants.
Yeah, this is up for us to approve.
And it is up to the district.
Correct. This is presented here as informational for the board to approve.
The board gets the final word on this, and the board has to review on this. I don't know how you separate this. I don't think that's
all we can do. No, I thought you were done.
That's why I think we need to have independent group edit, look at this information so that it's not all dependent.
Can I respond to you? Are you through, Mr. Proffman? Okay. You have it reversed. Mm-hmm. This is informational material that the board can send out, and it has to limit itself to the background factual information of what's been developed so far. The actual argument for the ballot is not a board function. That has to be by people who are campaigning for as individuals, but not as a resolution of the board. And so the ballot document through the county elections department is subscribed by individuals, not by this board. Well, I'm telling you it's the opposite of what you described.
All right, thanks for the comment. Len?
I think I understood you to say that the statement that's going to be sent out, the objective statement, was prepared by the consultants? Is that correct?
Yes.
Whatever is going to be sent out, that's the information that's being presented as objective information. Was
correct.
Prepared by the consultants.
Correct, in is connection it, with the committee.
Is it not correct that the consultants don't get paid unless the thing passes?
No, these were independently retained consultants, Lou Edwards Group.
These are not the same people who are consulting and who did the poll or whatever you call it. These are not the same people who were here presenting on it and who prepared the information that was handed out the last time and who do not get paid unless the measure passes.
No, you're wrong.
No, I'm asking.
Okay. Godby Research was the company that did the poll. This is the Lou Edwards Group, which was hired after the poll was completed to develop factual information.
And they've been paid already for this.
There were the people that were vetted, but they have been paid.
Yeah, they have no incentive.
But there is a group that has been hired that doesn't get paid unless the measure passes, right?
Yes, that's
and
true.
And what is their role?
Lisa, what's it?
The financial advisor who does all the work.
The crafting of the bond.
On the financial side, the bond banker, the bond council, is also involved at the election. Those people do not get paid. That's their fees that come out of the bond proceeds, but they are not the same people.
Could you please, by the way, I think your work is just fine, and I'm not opposed to, first of all, I'm absolutely in favor of bringing the building up to code. That has to be done. And I'm not opposed to upgrading the building in other respects, but I think it should be part of a real master plan that is part of the development of the entire property that takes all kinds of things into consideration and all kinds of possibilities. I think that doing it piecemeal is not such a good idea. And I think that your work is very useful. I'm not suggesting in the least that it's not useful. I think it's premature to pass a bond that I think is over $1 million for the additional upgrade of the building above what's required for safety purposes out of the context of what might be, of all that might be. And I think that your work can be useful in that larger context.
All right.
I'm John Stein. This work's been going on for 5 years. The board asked the committee, the work group, to specifically work on the building. But Leonard, I think it'd be a great idea if you start a committee to work on the rest of the park. And I would encourage you to. Well, I don't know. But it's your idea, and I think you ought to pursue your idea. And I'm glad you do support, and you went on record with that we need to really improve the building. That's very, very helpful. What I wanted to address is the group that was hired went out of their way to share with the work group that you cannot campaign. You cannot influence. All you can do is share factual information, and they encouraged the work group and the board to share factual information with the community, because this is a very, very small section of the community that's here tonight. There's 5,000 other people that are not here. Okay. As it turns out, because it is district funds that are going to pay for these factual informational items, the board has to approve that. And that's why it's going to the board tonight. There's no other independent board that can spend this board's money. That's the way it works. I'm not sure what government you're talking about, but the way this government works, this board has to approve how their money is spent. Okay, that's just the way it is. Okay, all of this information was reviewed by the board's council to make sure that it was educational and informational only. And so that's what it is. That's our, and I'm, excuse me, I've got the microphone. And so that's all that it is. There is one point of clarification I did want to make. The board cannot campaign for this measure. However, any individual on the board as a private citizen and taxpayer in Kensington that wants to be involved with this election, pro or con, is welcome to as an individual, not as a board. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to ask if we could take a short break. I'm not feeling well myself this night. I need about 5 minutes. I'm sorry.